Danielle and I are off this week. However, we're also on. Please enjoy our interview with Leah McSweeney, housewife. This is our first episode of our bonus episodes. And we're releasing this one in the feed to give you a little taste. If you're interested in the rest of our bonus episodes, we have 10. Go to stitcherpremium.com and use the promo code Housewives for a free month also of premium. You'll also be able to listen to the podcast ad-free if you do this. We hope you enjoy this season's bonus episodes. That's stitcherpremium.com with the promo code Housewives. Thanks. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Casey. Now, I'm very excited about this guest. Now, this woman, you know, we don't usually have housewives.
We've had a handful. I can count them on one hand.
Yeah, we don't. We always say we don't want to fly too close to the sun.
No, I don't want them.
But sometimes the sun is so bright, we need to feel its warmth.
It's gorgeous rays. That's right. And, you know, we've had a few choice gals that we feel we can touch down to earth with. And some we haven't been able to touch down to earth with, but we still loved having them. Looking at you, Sonia Morgan. But
yes,
we're so excited. This housewife, she blasted onto the scene, I think is the only way to put it.
She did. It was like a rocket, a rocket.
A rocket ride on Real Housewives of New York. We all know her. I mean, I'm giving an intro as though we don't know the entrepreneur, fashion designer, now writer, author, gorgeous gal.
Tiki torch thrower.
Absolutely. Defender of downtown Manhattan.
Introed us to a boxer, a boxing maven slash help giver that we've never seen before or since on the Housewives series. Just a character we've never seen.
And we're glad we have him. Please welcome the lovely Leah McSweeney, who has a new book out called Chaos Theory, Finding Meaning in the Madness, One Bad Decision at a Time. Hi, Leah.
Oh, my God. Hi, that was such an amazing intro. Thank you. I love the defender of downtown. And I'm so glad that you included Martin in it because he's, you know, basically an extension of me.
He is sort of your id. He's your id a little bit.
He is.
And, but also your voice of reason. Like he is. And
sometimes I have to just, sometimes I ghost him for like 2 weeks because it's like too much. Like I need a break because it's like me. I need a break from myself, you know?
Yeah. You're like, it's nothing personal.
It's not. He gets it. I just randomly go by the gym. Like yesterday, I just showed up and been like ghosting him for like 2 weeks. He's like, McSweeney, where are you, kid? And then, you know, I show up. And what did we do? And then we took a walk. He's opening up a new space. So then we took a walk and looked at the new space.
I love that sometimes you aren't even boxing with him. Sometimes it's just a walk.
God, no.
No. Oh, no. It's a lot of... Yeah, we went and got a green juice. And then we went and looked at the new space. And we talked about how it's like apocalyptic times. But we're going to get through it.
I love how on the show he kind of started functioning in your second season as kind of like our moral compass.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, here's the gals I like. Here's who I'm wary of. Just speaking his truth.
And he's also just telling everybody the truth. You know, like he really touches down. And I appreciate it. But Leah, you know, we just have read your book, but we also know your life story because you've been so open about who you are. And you talk about that a little bit in the book, in your Real Housewives chapter, which is just like, if I'm going to do this show, I'm going to be me because I can't pretend to be anything but, and it's too hard. It's just too hard. So I'm going to give them
Liam and like give them Lala.
Yes, you can.
Give them Leah.
Give them Leah. You know, what I was struck by, and I really want to hear about this, Leah, because on the show, you know, we heard about your upbringing. We met your mom, your gorgeous sister that I feel I share a bang connection with. But I feel like we kind of heard your story about getting kicked out of school and the like how that catapulted you on a path. But what I really felt more in reading your book was that this headmistress who kind of kicked you out of school, and it wasn't on the Upper East Side, but it kind of felt like that to me reading it in the sense of like these privileged
girls. It was on the Upper East Side, though.
Oh, wait, I thought it was in Chelsea in my head. Okay, that's where I grew up.
Yes, but the school was on the Upper East Side.
Okay, in my head, I'm like, it must be, but it was, in fact.
It was.
But I guess I felt like sometimes, you know, in life when you relive something to the T and you don't realize you're doing it, almost like, you know, you might marry your dad and you're like, but I didn't do that.
Right,
but
exactly.
Joining the Real Housewives, I mean, Ramona is the headmistress. We've got all the characters.
It's karmic destiny.
Yes.
But now you're doing it your way. It's like you...
Exactly.
It's like Casey said, when you marry your mother...
Trying to, like, you know, you're heal the wounds.
You're constantly trying to heal the wounds, as we know.
Constantly.
And so, what was that like? I mean, coming into that world, did it occur to you right away? Like, I'm kind of reliving this?
Yeah, it kind of did. Like, I was like, what are these, like, weird feelings I'm feeling? Like, why do I feel so... And it really struck me when I was at... there was a lunch where I was with Sonia and Tinsley. It was like early on in the season. And Sonia says, I would never have sex with people with tattoos. Now we know that's a lie. But I was like, God, that was like, lie. I was like, yeah, I was like, God, that's like mean, you know? Like, and I was like, that was like one of the first times where I was like, oh, this is like a little cruel. Like, some of these bitches are going to be cruel to me. And I just felt very, I was like, damn, the Sacred Heart girls were much nicer, you know? but, you know, I started feeling like this is me reliving that feeling. But then I got to be like, no, I belong here. I belong here.
Well, you didn't even just belong. You actually kind of like redefined the whole season in a sense.
Thank you.
Of, you know, and this is not to be ageist at all, but there was an older gal on the show from a very specific area and almost like era and old school thought form. When you were hired, did they say to you, hey, this is going to be kind of a big shift? Or were you just kind of hired as like, now you're joining the gals?
No one gave me any. There was no like, you know. Like
there was no starter packet
onboarding,
you know, no one said anything, and I was kind of like, I had tried watching the season before knowing that I may join, and I would get crippling anxiety when I would watch it, because I'm like, I don't fit in. I was like, I was like imagining myself sitting around with them, like, and like, I was like, I think one scene they were at Luann's house in Kingston or whatever, mm-hmm. and I'm like just wearing hats I would never wear and shit. Like,
there's a lot of questionable.
There's
hats.
A lot of weird hats
and statement jewelry. Like,
but you decided to come on with a hat that blew them all away and really set a trend with a mesh with a mesh bucket hat. I mean, we didn't see that coming.
I don't know how you didn't. I mean, I saw it coming. I saw that hat and was like, I need it right away. But I was like, I'm not, how am I doing this? So that's when I was just like, I'm going to stop watching it. And I'm just going to like go in and just, you know, and actually like Ramona was very nice. The first, like, she was very nice. She was nicer than Sonia was to me. And Luann was very nice. Dorinda,
really?
we got off to a rough start, me and Dorinda, which was cut out. But then like me and her obviously like bonded very quickly. Which was awkward when her and Tinsley obviously started having massive beef. But
it was mostly Dorinda's beef, though. It felt like
it was Dorinda's beef, not Tinsley. Yeah, when Dorinda started, when Dorinda started having massive beef with Tinsley.
Yeah, was Dorinda mad she was not in the Coupon Kings commercials?
Oh, I don't think that was it.
I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. I thought you were serious. I don't know.
But like, by the way, I could see her being like,
"For me,
yeah, yeah."
That was before me. So I'm like, that sounds familiar.
You never
they
know.
Went on a trip somewhere. Mm-hmm. You don't know. You never know. There's a lot of stuff that gets cut out and everything, you know?
While we're on the topic of Dorinda, what did you make of, because obviously Dorinda's such a favorite. I have such a love for Dorinda, which
me
also
too.
Was kind of baffling initially when you guys were, because you know, sometimes that happens where it's like you guys clearly belong together as a kind of texture,
yeah.
I guess. And, but what did you make of her anger? That kind of, I don't know, derailed her.
I thought that I wasn't, like, I don't know her well enough to know where it's coming from. But I knew it wasn't really about Tinsley. It wasn't really about Luann. It wasn't really about anybody. It was something that, you know, that's deep inside of her. And it's just not, like, how I know her to be. You know, I think it's just when she drinks, too. So it's not like her normal baseline, you know?
No.
Yeah, her normal baseline is like Christmas decorations and...
Exactly. And like wanting
Bluestone
to like...
Bluestone Manor.
Yeah, Bluestone Manor. Actually, that like people always ask, like, what was your favorite trip? And I'm like, the Berkshires, because like Dorinda made it feel amazing, you know? Like, it was just so nice to be... Rob just walked in. Sorry.
Rob!
Rob really plays a beautiful role in the book.
Rob, this is exciting. Hi, because I feel like I know you even more from Leah's book. And I do feel like, you know, Leah's always talked very honestly about your relationship, but I really saw the love, the family that you've created.
I can't hear you because I'm wearing the headphones, but they're saying that they really got to know you through the book. Yeah. Rob,
in a nice way.
Rob is such an amazing person that he looked through 200 bags of recycling yesterday behind my building to find my Rolex that got thrown out, and he found it.
What?
Jesus.
He found it.
What? Rob, there's nothing Rob won't do. I'm realizing.
Me and Rob and Kiki went to the back of the building searching through garbage. People were staring at us. I was crying. I was like, it's here somewhere. And then I had to leave because I had a meeting. And I was like, forget it. It's gone. I have to make peace with it. My only nice thing I own.
To search through the trash for a Rolex really is kind of Real Housewives of New York.
I searched through the trash recently. I was working at the Oscars. No big. And I had accidentally thrown away one of Regina Hall's
Chris
scripts.
Rock's jokes.
No. And I had accidentally thrown away Regina Hall's script that she had written on, and I found myself in a garbage, like, on the side of the street.
But with no Rolex at the end of that
no
rainbow.
No Rolex at the end, just a script. I did find it, though, I will say that. But I found myself working through a garbage.
Leah, talk to us about, so when you get on the show, and we know that you were basically introduced to the show via your facialist, via Bethany Frankel. Ever go out with Bethany or have drinks with her? Have you ever met her in person?
No, I've never met her. I sent her flowers, and I also tried. Okay, so she basically gave me a message through the facialist after the reunion. I've never said this before. She heard from someone that I said I was in the lineup already before her, before she mentioned me, but I never said that at the reunion, and I never thought that before. So she told the facialist to tell me that she was upset about that. And then I was like, can you just tell her that I'd love to meet her for lunch? I'm gonna be in the Hamptons this weekend, or just let's talk on the phone because this is ridiculous. And then my facialist was like, sorry, she says she's too busy. So look, I tried, I think she obviously I think she's kind of moved on from the show, but
she does seem to have moved on, but she's not, because she keeps producing
she talks
it.
About it.
She talks about it. She produces it on some level. She's always been this person would be good. This person.
I think the thing about Bethany is even in very small moments, be it she knows you through a facialist or dear friends or everything, always has to end with an explosion of the relationship, even with you guys having not even had a beginning, middle, end. There's just something, I think she does so many good works, but they're at an arm's length in a beautiful way. But it feels like the work, there's just
the
something about her that explodes
everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a bummer. And also, I was disappointed that she wasn't on this season, obviously, because I thought,
yeah,
I think you guys would have gotten along well. I do.
I think we would have too.
I don't think you would have, but
I mean, it might have ended badly, but
don't get me wrong. It will end badly. It will, and it will still end badly. That's for sure. Yeah. I'm just saying the love before the hate would have been beautiful, I think.
Now, so where are you, if I may? So I just have to ask you. So everything that's gone on with that season, what were you thinking as it was all happening,
this most recent season?
I don't think I was thinking much. Wait, season 12?
The one that we all saw. Yes, the most recent one where it's
we
introduced Ebony, where we are in the world, everything that's happening.
I was thinking oh my God, this is the worst experience ever, and I'm not going to watch this season.
Why do you think it was so bad? Is it because of COVID? Is it because of the death of your grandmother?
I was grieving her. I didn't want to be having fun with... I lost Tinsley and Dorinda. You know what I mean? So my real friends that I really got along with on the show were gone. Now I have to deal with Ramona.
Sober.
Sonia was sober. Sonia was, getting really, really intoxicated. And Luann, I had to, be in a Christmas video. I mean, it was just a lot.
that crazy.
It was a lot. It was a lot. And
I know, between the Black Shabbat and the Christmas video, I've never seen two such painful scenes in different
ways. I'm so glad that I wasn't at that Black Shabbat, you know, because I probably would have like thrown
it was
some challah bread at Ramona. I don't know, you know, but
I think you would. I think you would have like taken a Manischewitz bottle.
Manischewitz bottle and just broken it right over her head.
That was actually the most painful scene I've seen in Housewives. I had to turn it off. It was so, not that we all haven't seen uncomfortable scenes, just something about what was happening there. I was like, I really can't watch this. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I watched the screeners when they would send them to us. I would skip through them and then like, I wouldn't watch the show because I just knew that it was not, just not something I wanted to relive.
And so then at the reunions, when people say, you know, and then this one said that to you, are you like, I never saw that? Or you just kind of take their word for what they said? Or does it allow you to like keep peace with people more, just having not necessarily seen all the dirty comments?
I look at, you know what? The way we ended the show, which was great, like how we had to be, we dressed up as each other. That last episode, not sure if you even got to watch watched it, but I loved that. I mean, that was like fun. It was silly. It was like healing. It was great. And we all did end on a very good note with each other. And I do want to try to remember that, like season 13 for that in a positive way.
What happened from there?
Aren't we supposed to be talking about my book?
We're going to, Leah. But this is all of a piece. You know, we're
all of a piece.
All I can say is that, you know, I was kind of told to stay out of it.
By Bravo?
No.
Oh, okay.
You know, but like I was
You're like
told
by my
to
therapist.
Stay, I was told to stay out of it, that it was like issues and just to stay out of it. And that's what I did, you know? Like I just stayed out of it. I mean, all of the stuff that happened after it just has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
And anything that says it does have to do with me is a lie. Like, because I really have, like, I have no bad feelings towards any of my castmates. And Ebony was not blackballed by me. And I don't think anyone. But, like, I would, of course, film again with her. Like, no problem. Like, that's crazy. I don't get to demand who I can film with and who I don't film with.
I think, like, the Black Shabbat is a good example, though, because you and Ebony did seem really, really friendly during the season. But I think, like, there's just no denying the energy that Luann and Ramona were putting out there was just so, it was very hard to watch them treat her like that.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
She was not in an easy position. No. And really, frankly, no one was, but like.
But they were in a different position of having been on the show for years, having, you know, so they could have made it easy, and they don't make it easy for anyone, but they definitely made it harder for her. I mean, they didn't make it easy for you.
They made
it harder for her in every way. And so
they're not women capable of any type of change. I mean, it's almost to a comically dark degree, just like watching them unable to literally be penetrated or receive. It was just really wild.
Well, even the way that they came for you in a way where it's like, this is not classy and that's classy, those sort of like rules where it's like, I can't think of more day class A people than Ramona. Like, talk about like person that's, you know, zero class.
I'm trying to be nice here, but obviously, like, yes, we're all watching the same show. We know what's going on.
Now, back to your book. Well, it's all the same piece, but also,
I have one more question, Danielle.
Okay, sorry.
Now,
Casey's not done yet.
I'm so sorry, Leah. I'm just curious. So I was listening to Carlos King's new podcast, who we had on, and I'm just curious where this is coming from in the sense of that Ebony, I guess, is saying you guys aren't even friends anymore. Because again, to my eye, you were very welcoming to her and you guys had a nice friendship.
I know. But we haven't talked.
Yeah.
But it's also something like, I'm not like, I have no bad feelings either. Like,
but
we're
if
not,
you reached out, like, would it be received? I mean, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, after I've heard these things and seen headlines, I'm like, oh, okay. That's news to me.
Is there a facialist that could mediate?
There's a facialist. There's like a plastic surgeon. I mean, there's always some cosmetic person who can mediate. Yeah. But I'm always, the other thing with me is like, I don't hold grudges. I'm very open to talking about things. And Ebony knows that about me too. You know what I mean? So I thought that her and Ramona were in a good place. I was surprised to read all that. And her and Luann. So I'm confused about that.
It's just so shrouded in mystery because it's like, well, if they're in a good place, like what happened? We did not have our reunion. I mean, that is unprecedented. But I honestly think it was probably for the best. You know, as it was such a kind of chaotic.
It was for the best for me because I was like weaning off my Lexapro.
No, I don't want to be outside for that, much less at a reunion. No.
And also, I'll never wean off my Lexapro.
No, well, it stopped working.
Oh, yeah. Well, then you got
to
wean
off. And so I had to wean off, and now I'm on Zoloft, and I just started Wellbutrin 2 days ago.
Oh, I'm on Wellbutrin.
Oh, do you like it?
I it's changed my life.
Oh, my God. Thank God. I know. I feel like I think I'm getting horny again.
What?
I haven't.
You're like,
that.
Okay. Sure.
No, but I'm like, have I felt that? Maybe. It's changed my life totally. And then oddly, I found out if it makes you focus, it's like a byproduct of it, but it's a backdoor diagnosis to ADHD. I was like, great. Just getting some diagnoses and labels any way I could get them.
Love it.
Could have used it when I was younger, but I'll take it, you know? but I love Wellbutrin. It's so... truly life-changing. But yeah, Danielle and I are always saying on this podcast with our meds, we got to go up, up, up. But like at the reunion, you were going down, down, down.
I was going down, down, down. So when I had said like, I was like, oh, I'm relieved that there's no reunion. I mean, look, I wasn't relieved to miss out on paychecks. And I know the other women must have been pissed because they get paid a lot per episode.
So Bravo said no reunion, not Ramona, not...
Yeah, of course not. No, I mean, not that I know of. Why would Ramona and Luann not want a reunion?
But that's did like Ebony say, I won't talk about this? I won't do
I
this?
Have no idea.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I don't think. I think she wanted a reunion. I think everybody wanted a reunion.
There could have been some, I'm not saying global healing, but it was a tougher episode given that it's this franchise that we love so much. And I actually thought Ebony was such a great cast member, but something about the time and the place of it. And I do think she was kind of on an island and it was just, very sad to watch. My final question before we turn to the book is about coming up. Like, what do you think of this new kind of basically, it's like sliding doors, like two parts season, two casts.
Oh, like the two different shows that they're talking about?
Like the legacy and the.
And where will you go? Because you straddle a lot of worlds. You're not sort of the old guard, but you have been with the old guard, and you are sort of like. Of a New
you grew
York,
up in Chelsea. You're
City.
You're between the cities. Yeah,
yeah. You're really in town. Where do you?
I think that it's a great idea. Even though I was surprised because I thought that we were all coming back, all of us, every single one of us, and then with
really,
three new
you didn't think they were going to start like a teardown.
No, I thought because of like the tumultuous season that it would like we would have to all kind of. Heal or like whatever, like do it or not, or like just, you know, figure out our shit. Like, and they would just add more women and like it would be a much better season because everything would be open, life would be going on again, and we would have a few more people because we were only five people.
It was a small cast.
That's, I think that was an issue because we didn't have many places to turn. You know what I mean? Like there was just
everything, and the audience really didn't think about that or extend us any understanding. Like, New York City is shut down. New York City is the backdrop of the show. We can't go to restaurants. We can't, like, the rules
We've
around...
We've got Salem and a black Shabbat.
Exactly. And that's what you're getting, you know? And that's pretty depressing. And, I mean, Ramona shit on the floor in Salem.
That was really tough. Let's never forget that. Ramona's shit on the floor on a lot of trips, though, so it's not... I can't blame COVID on Ramona shitting on the floor.
No. Yeah. No, no way.
We can't blame that. You know, it's interesting because someone online was saying it almost feels like... But look, we have not heard the casts yet, so I don't think it can totally be said, but that there's a feeling like, are they basically doing two casts, like almost segregating them in the sense of like the old guard and the... And I think it'll just depend who's brought on. But do you think Ebony will be brought back?
Oh, I have no idea. Like, I don't know if I'm coming back. I don't know if anyone...
When do you find out?
I don't know.
Wow. This is like... Wow.
How do you make plans? How do you vacation?
I know you go to Jamaica. You made time.
I went to Jamaica. I honestly don't think about it too much.
Yeah, that's great.
That's what you just, yeah, I just can't. Like, I just, it's like, whatever happens, happens. Like, the universe is taking care of me, no matter what. Yeah. So, whether I'm on Legacy, I'm on the reboot, I'm not on either.
You're on Lexapro. Like, yeah, it's all good.
Lexapro, Zoloft, Wellbutrin. Like, it doesn't really matter.
The universe provides.
The universe will provide.
I felt that on SNL, they were like, yeah, we don't know when we're going to tell you. If you're coming back, you'll receive a fax or you won't. And you're just kind of like, occasionally, I just like look over at the fax machine like, okay.
That was me on Best Week Ever. One. They would be like, from week to week, we don't know if we're going to bring you back. And then
that's hard on a week to week basis.
On a week to week basis, ups and downs. You just never know.
And Leo, let's get into your book. So what made you decide to write a book? Have you always wanted to do this?
I've always wanted to write a book, but honestly, Harper Wave saw that I was just being like open about addiction and mental health and like came to me.
I love that. I love that.
Thank you. They were like, you should write a book. And I was like, really? Like, okay, I'm going to write a book then. Fuck it. I'm just like, oh my God, I can't believe that it's been so emotional having to confront all these times in my life again, I guess, that I thought I had like moved past. And now like everyone wants to talk about my teenage years and me doing crystal meth and like all these things that like, I'm like, it's getting brought up, you know, inside of me again.
And we had a preview of it on the show, just in terms of you've been so open about your life, but to go back in and really get detailed with specifics, was that hard? Did you go talk to your family about it before to like get some of the memories? Cause like you say in the book, like, I don't even remember some of this shit. You say yourself, you were so fucked up, and also just emotional. Like you've sort of like, I'd forgotten, so you probably had to go back to your family, and that must have been difficult. How was that?
Yeah, me and I didn't really go back to my dad, but my mom, there were definitely some things where she was like, no, it didn't happen that way. You know what I mean? It happened this way or whatever. And she probably remembers more terrible stories about me than I remember because I was fucked up. But me and my mom have gotten so close, and I really think it's because of the show and this book, because on the show, we were made to confront each other. Like, you can't hide when like the cameras are there. Like the cameras, like, know when you're like not being fully transparent. Obviously you can tell when people aren't being transparent on the show.
Which is, I think, what was Tinsley's downfall. And not that it was even intentional, but I think that's what the fans reacted to. And certainly what Dorinda reacted to.
I thought that was Dorinda's downfall, is because she was so fucked up, but she couldn't be transparent about like the reasons why, you know, what we were just saying. Whereas,
right.
And you say the camera picks up on that, and they think we did, but yes.
The camera picks up on it, you know, and I went into that season being like during a relapse, which obviously was terrifying for my family and my mom was. I was like, oh, I'm not going to make it a big deal on the show. But of course, it becomes a thing on the show. How could it not? I thought I was actually going to somehow pretend, yeah, I haven't drank in 10 years. I just started drinking a few months ago. It's no big deal. Obviously, like, then it was like, oh, now we see why Leah, like, quit drinking. But it was good for me. It was all good for me. Because if you let
it's also good for other people, I think. Not that you would want you to go through that. But to see.
To see and be like, I don't want to relapse. You know, I don't want to start drinking again. And like, the thing is, like, if you let the show help you, it will, because you can watch it back. You can look and be like, oh, I acted like that or I acted like this. It lets you see your character flaws if you let it, so you can work on them.
It was interesting reading the book. I did get a much clearer understanding, I will say, of your mom, because, you know, on the show, I think we're so in your narrative and seeing things through your lens. And we're like, we're cool. We live downtown, too. And here's this mom coming in, like telling us what not to do.
Right.
But then reading the book, and obviously your mom's a therapist and like a very dignified person and graceful person. Yeah. But I was like, oh, wow. You know, Danielle and I are moms. Danielle and I are talking about this. We're like, you know, I will say, seeing it through her perspective now and everything she'd been through, to then say to yourself, okay, my daughter, it's this beautiful life. She has a beautiful daughter, 9 years sober. Now she's going on national television, has fallen off the wagon. Like, I really understood that in a much deeper way. Like, that's a lot for your family.
It's a lot. Like, and it was a lot for me too.
Of course.
Obviously, but I didn't, you know, I kind of just downplay it.
Well,
bit.
And we but meet then, you when we meet you. So, to, but to, your right. book sort of fills in a fuller
so
picture.
Yeah.
I think it's a good, like, I think sometimes I'm a little, like, misunderstood, but I think the book does a good job at, like, filling in the blanks.
I think anyone reading your book will not misunderstand. I think,
I'm saying?
Like,
not.
It's in your words. It's through your purview. And
well, it's nice to be able to do that because obviously, like, it's frustrating sometimes, like, as much as I love the show, because you are edited down. People are seeing a very, you know, as much as, like the editors do a good job at, like, making us multifaceted, there's only so much you can do because there's 4 months of footage cut into only 20 hours of episodes or 18 hours or however many episodes there are. So you don't get to see the whole person, the whole individual.
I have a question just because now you are a mother of beautiful Kiki, gorgeous Kiki, who is such a light.
She is.
And you can tell you guys have a very special relationship. But Casey and I are also mothers too now. And, you know, we see this perspective through your eyes. And, you know, like, obviously, addiction is a disease. It runs in my family.
Yeah.
It runs in so many families.
Mine, yeah.
And so we worry about our, but the generation coming up, and I'm sure you worry about Kiki. I worry about my daughter. Casey worries about her kids. Like, if you're in that position today with Kiki, with what you are going through, if you are, you know, what would you do? What would you do? What would you say? How would you help her? Because now you have the perspective of someone who's gone through it, and now you can give. So I, as a mother, want advice of, like, if my daughter is going through similar, how's the best way to address?
Well, I think what I've done with her is, like, have a very open line of communication so that she can, like, tell me things, you know? Like, she's not going to be able to get away with experimenting and me not know it. Because, like, first of all, we're close. She usually has her friends sleep at my house. Like, sometimes she has sleepovers at other people's houses. But, like, I'm on her all the time. Like, I'm not in a, like, like intrusive way, but she's in a way that, you know, she's 14 and she's in the city walking around. I keep tabs on her and so does her father. Me, her and her dad have such a good relationship and she's getting like all of her needs met. And I didn't get all of my needs met. And that's not because my parents were like not good parents, but it's because their needs hadn't been met, you know? And they had two kids and they were dealing with their own mental health issues. My dad was depressed, blah, 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 et cetera. So my daughter is getting all of her needs met. We're making sure that we're doing things differently. Like, this generation, we're a different generation of parents. Like, maybe we're a little extra with the, like, lovey love. I don't know. But, like, you know.
Yeah, like today a kid will, like, slap their parent across the face and we're like, how did that make you feel?
You're like, so right. Exactly. Like, but I still like.
But it's a way better.
But that's why it is. Because it runs in so many families. You know what I mean? Like, you're not alone in what you went through and what the next generation is going through. But we want to.
The epidemic of drug addiction. Right
and the drugs are harder now and scarier now.
There's fentanyl. Like, it's terrifying.
So, as a parent. You know, like, I'm very curious, like, and I think that's a good answer. I think it's just the communication and trying to meet the emotional needs. Like, you're not talking about the other bullshit, but you're trying to take, like, the basic needs of your child. And that's at least how we know that, like, just getting on the same page so that if stuff is going right, we're just there for in a way that our parents just didn't know. They did the best that they could do with the tools that they had. Yeah. Now we just have more tools, hopefully. So
we do. No, we really do.
We're going to let you go soon. The last thing I want to just touch on is the mental health piece. You know, yes, we had the addiction, but I remember I was so upset when Ramona brought up, your mental health issues because there was just something. And again, we have seen all manner of things on this show. A woman has faked cancer for her boyfriend. I mean, things have happened on these shows, you know, that.
Yes.
But there was something that really crossed the line for me there. But then part of me thought, well, at least it's kind of nice that you were talking about it too. So I was kind of like, well, I'm not ashamed of mental health issues. It was just, I think, the spirit in which she did it was so mean. But I was really impressed that you went there and kind of talked about that because so much of The Housewives is about, I'm fine and these things are not happening to me.
Right. Oh my God. And like, I have all of this money. Just kidding. I stole it all.
Just kidding. I'm in a rental with not one photograph on the walls.
Yeah, I mean, no. Sometimes it's just, it's ridiculous. And, like, the things people will do to, like, pretend that they're, like, a different person. Like, it's crazy, you know?
That was a very good moment for you. It was...
That was the best moment.
It was, like, divinely guided.
I know. It wasn't me. I was, like, when I watched it, I was, like, I don't even remember saying this. I don't even remember being this alone.
I would have shown everyone the breadth of my mental illness if that I was confronted. They would have seen it on display.
I think sometimes in important moments, something comes over us where we know the gravitas of a moment and what it could mean. And something in you clicked that said, this can be a make or break moment for so many of us struggling with mental illness.
Mental health issues, yeah.
Yes, that we can say, this is real. This is life. And it shouldn't be shamed or made to feel bad. It's like, this is a part of all of our lives. And you can treat it like shame, or you can treat it like anything else that someone is going through. And
that's the antidote to what you were asking before, Danielle, about our kids. It's like, just being open about it is such a wildly, like, different way to exist in the world. My last thing is on behalf of Danielle and I think it's very beautiful that you are converting to Judaism. Danielle is a Jewess.
I'm Jewish.
You converted fully?
I converted fully a couple weeks ago.
Congratulations, a chosen one.
Thank you. Yeah, I am. I'm like so like going nuts over Passover. You have no idea. I'm ordering the grape juice. I have the matzah. Like my sister, well, the people close, like my sister's baby daddy is Jewish and his mother is going to come over and him and my
niece. Are you going to hide the afikoman for your niece?
Wait, is that when you hide like
hide the matzah?
Matzah in those yes. things, uh-huh. right? Yeah, maybe we are. Yeah, we're going to do that.
And I love it.
Just wish me luck.
I love it. My husband's Jewish. My kids are Jewish. And I also have been thinking about converting. And I really loved what you said in your book, because I think, you know, anti-Semitism is always on the rise and in the background. And I don't think it kind of sometimes gets the care and thought and with what's going on right now. So I appreciate that.
It doesn't. And actually, some numbers just came out that, you know, hate crimes against Jews are up by like 400%. Yeah. It's really crazy. So, yeah. And Judaism is a beautiful, like, it's just...
Beautiful rituals and traditions.
It's a beautiful rituals and traditions.
It is interesting how the older I've gotten, the more... I guess the more happy I am that I'm Jewish. Like, I know that sounds like a weird thing to say.
I love that.
But, you know, when I was little, I grew up in the South. There weren't a lot of Jews around.
You probably were like, damn, I don't get to
well,
do Christmas.
I was.
Right?
I
like,
also had some shame right. with my Judaism because, you know, you don't want to be other. So there was that, right. you know, kind of piece of it. And as I've gotten older and know my story more and know my past more and know my people's past more, I've never been more proud. And as I get older and older and older, I'm so happy that I have, even though I'm not that religious, culturally, I feel very Jewish and very proud of my Judaism.
You go, girl.
You go. Thank you, Leah McSweeney. Chaos Theory, it
Thank
is
you
out.
For having
and
me.
You're looking
Thank
fine
you.
On the cover.
So fine. Get it.
Thank
it's
you.
Guys, it's a whirlwind. It is a ride.
Yeah. And
a
there's some like great, just like a lot of life nuggets.
Also, you know? New York City, it's a little bit of a love letter to New York City as well, which I appreciate.
It is. It
below 14th
is.
Street. Thank you, Leah McSweeney. We appreciate
thank you,
it.
Thank you.